Chapter 17. And lit the new-horn lantern, and went from her sight, and vanished down the turret, and she heard him pass the postern, and go out into the night. She listened as she lay, till she heard his step returning, and his voice as he unclothed him. 'Twas nothing, as I said, but the nor'west wind a blowing from the moor athwart the river, and the tree that taps the gurgoyle head. Nay, husband, you perplex me, for if the noise I heard here, awaking me from sleep so, were but as you avow, the rainfall, and the wind, and the tree bough, and the river, why is it silent now? And why is thy hand and thy clasping arm so shaking, and thy sleeve and tags of hair so muddy and so wet, and why feel I thy heart a-thumping every time thou kissest me, and thy breath, as if hard to get? He lay there in silence for a while, still quickly breathing, then started up and walked about the room resentfully. O woman, witch, whom I, in sooth, against my will have wedded, why castest thou thy spells on me? There was one I loved once. The cry you heard was her cry. She came to me tonight, and her plight was passing sore, as no woman. Yea, and it was then the cry you heard, wife, but she will cry no more. And now I can't abide thee. This place, it hath a curse on't, this farmstead once a castle. I'll get me straight away. He dressed this time in darkness, unspeaking, as she listened, and when ere the dawn turned day. They found a woman's body at a spot called Rocky Shallow, where the Froom stream curves amid the moorland, washed aground, and they searched about for him, the yeoman, who had darkly known her, but he could not be found. And the bride left for good, and all the farmstead once a castle, and in a county far away lives, mourns, and sleeps alone, and thinks in windy weather, that she hears a woman crying, and sometimes an infant's moan. On a discovered curl of hair, when your soft welcomings were said, this curl was waving on your head, and when we walked where breakers dinned it sported in the sun and wind, and when I had won your words of grace it brushed and clung about my face. Then, to abate the misery of absentness, you gave it me. Where are its fellows now? Ah, they for brightest brown have donned a gray, and gone into a cavern dark, ever unopened, always dark. Yet this one curl, untouched of time, beams with live brown as in its prime, so that it seems I even could now restore it to the living brow, by bearing down the western road till I had reached your old abode. February 1913. An old likeness, recalling R.T., who would have thought that, not having missed her talks, tears, laughter in absence, or sought to recall for so long her gamut of song, or ever to waft her signal of aught that she, fancy fanned, would well understand, I should have kissed her picture, when scanned yawning years after. Yet, seeing her poor dim outlined form chancewise at night-time, some old allure came on me, warm, fresh, pleatful, pure, as in that bright time of a far season of love and unreason, and took me by storm here in this blight time. And thus it arose that, yawning years after our early flows of wit and laughter, and framing of rhymes at idle times, at sight of her painting, though she lies cold in churchyard mould, I took its fainting as real, and kissed it, as if I had wist it herself of old. Her apotheosis secretum immune my heat-fated woman's song. There was a spell of leisure, no record vouches when, with honors, praises, pleasure to womankind from men. But no such lures bewitched me, no hand was stretched to raise, no gracious gifts enriched me, no voices sang my praise. Yet an iris at that season amid the accustomed slight from denseness, dull unreason, ringed me with living light. Sacred to the memory, Mary H. That, accurate to the memory, is clearly carven there I own, and all may think that on the stone the words have been inscribed by me in bare conventionality. They know not, and will never know that my full script is not confined to that stone space, but stands deep-lined upon the landscape high, and low wherein she made such worthy show. To a well-named dwelling, glad old house of lichened stonework, what I owed you in my lone work, noon and night. Whensoever faint or ailing, letting go my grasp and failing, you lent light. How by that fair title came you? Did some forward I so name you knowing that one, sauntering down his century blindly, would remark your sound, so kindly, and be one? Smile in sunlight, sleep in moonlight, bask in April, May, and June light, zephyr fanned. Let your chambers show no sorrow, blanching day, or stupering morrow, while they stand. The whipperin, my father, was the whipperin, is still if I'm not misled. And now I see, where the edge is thin, a little spot of red. Surely it is my father going to the kennel shed. I cursed and fought my father I, and sailed to a foreign land. And feeling sorry, I'm back, to stay, please God, as his helping hand. Surely it is my father near where the kennels stand? True. Whipperin he used to be for 20 years or more, and you did go away to sea as youths have done before. Yes, oddly enough that red there is the very coat he wore. But he's dead, was thrown somehow, and gave his back a crick, and though that is his coat, tis now the scarecrow of a rick. You will see when you get nearer tis spread out on a stick. You see, when all had settled down your mother's things were sold, and she went back to her own town, and the coat, ate out with mold, is now used by the farmer for scaring, as 'tis old. A military appointment, Scherzando. So back you have come from the town, Nan, dear. And have you seen him there, or near that soldier of mine who long since promised to meet me here? Oh yes, Nell. From the town I come, and have seen your lover on sick leave home, that soldier of yours who swore to meet you, or strike him dumb, but has kept himself of late away. Yet, in short, he's coming, I heard him say that lover of yours to this very spot on this very day. Then I'll wait, through wet or dry. I'll give him a goblet brimming high, this lover of mine, and not of complaint one word or sigh. Nell, him I have chanced, so much to see, that he has grown the lover of me. That lover of yours, and it's here our meeting is planned to be. The milestone by the rabbit burrow on Yelham Hill. In my loamy nook as I dig my hole I observe men look at a stone, and sigh as they pass it by to some far goal. Something it says to their glancing eyes that must distress the frail and lame, and the strong of frame gladden or surprise. Do signs on its face declare how far feet have to trace, before they gain some blessed champagne where no gins are? The lament of the looking glass, words from the mirror softly pass to the curtains with a sigh. Why should I trouble again, to glass these smileless things hard by? Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.